This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max, and we are reunited with
Travis. Hey, guys.
This is our second time trying to sit down and record this. I know last week I had mentioned that we were going to have some screeners. There was some kinks in the system. Didn't quite get those this week, so
back to the usual time.
Yeah,
they think that they've kind of figured it out. So hopefully we'll be back or get to this thing we've been so excited about.
Hopefully by Ultima Lucha Trace, by the final episode of Ultima Lucha Trace. You also may notice that Travis is coming in via Skype because he's not allowed to leave the house more than once a week, and he had already burned that on Tuesday when he tried to come over.
No, that's not entirely true. Not entirely true. I mean, she wasn't happy.
I would never.
Let's be honest. My wife wasn't happy. I was lucky enough to be asked to go on the PTBN podcast main event with Scott Crisciullo and brother Nate earlier today to talk about the recent situation with Sexy Star, which I was just saying to Max before here today. We won't get too into that because you should listen to that. It was really cool. I got to talk with Nate for a while about what happened with her at the AAA, and because of that, I needed to be kind of by my own Skype, and that's why I'm here today.
There you go. All right, do we have any news and notes other than the Sexy Star trying to dislocate somebody's shoulder on purpose?
No, I mean, did you watch that match all the way through?
No, I didn't, because I wasn't sure, like, how bad it got, and, you know, I don't like witnessing that kind of stuff. If it got super gnarly, like, I didn't want to see
it. It doesn't. It's a mess. It's a shit show.
The whole match?
The whole match is, yeah. Mm. It just like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the gif of the actual thing at the end.
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even seen it.
And that's just like, you know, it looks like an arm bar, but it looks like she stayed on it too long and wrenches it too much, and whatever happened. But there's another gif where she gets like a legit, like hard chair shot to the back where the two of the girls are holding her down, and she kind of just no sells it and leaves the ring.
No, geez.
Those were the two that I had seen, and then I watched the match, and I kind of like, okay, I want to watch the whole match to kind of get more context here. And it is a mess. After that chair shot happened, kind of like, hey, maybe they're just working stiff today. Maybe they want to just do this for the big show here. But like literally seconds later, Ayako Hamada is the one who had delivered the chair shot. It does one to Lady Shani, like literally seconds later, and it is significantly lighter. Significantly lighter.
Oh, wow. Now paint me a picture here then. Was it all three of the other female competitors? They were all teaming up and shooting against Sexy Star?
No. Well, I mean, that's the story she's going with. When that happens, she leaves the ring and kind of doesn't really come back for a while. And then they're kind of just working between the three of them in there. And it is a mess, man. It is such a mess. They're bringing in trash cans that don't work, chairs that don't work. It's just like, and the crowd is not into it. They're starting to turn. They turn on it. But then she does come back and she does get involved with the Hamada who had hit her with that thing. And then that's when you see that they are kind of trying to shoot on each other. Feels a little bit. Sexy Star just kind of wraps it up. It's a bit of a shit show.
Did you end up watching any more from that Triple Mania?
Not yet. I really want to see, and that's what everyone's upset about, is that, I mean, on top of obviously Sexy Star's actions and the fallout, is that it took away from the main event, which sounds like it was really, really great, where our beloved Dr. Wagner Jr. unmasked.
Handsome guy.
Yeah, looked great.
Yeah, silver fox.
He looks like the world's most interesting man.
He does. He does. I was not expecting him to have a beard. Not at all. I read that Meltzer talked about the ratings for that mask versus mask match, and he said it was like the highest rated, the most watched wrestling match in North America in like 20 years or something.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. And I heard he was rewarded. Did you hear how much money his payout for this?
No.
For that? $250,000.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it should be enough.
I know, right? After a whole career. But, you know, I heard Alvarez talking about how he thinks this guy can, you know, he'd still work for another 4 or 5 years just based on what he's done so far and, you know, how much does he have left in the tank anyway? So,
Lucha guys, they just wrestle forever.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of wrestlers just wrestle forever, don't they? It certainly happens in Japan, but there's something about there's not a lot of North American guys, or not, I shouldn't say North American guys, but like American and Canadian guys that continue to wrestle well past their prime, that seem to age well, or seem to have an air about them that isn't like, is kind of pathetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, for some reason, the luchadors do tend to go longer and just have that big upper body and like know how to, you know, make their careers go a little bit longer. It's true.
I hear La Parca had like one of the best, it was La Parca versus maybe Pentagon, and it was like match of the year. Or this guy who's writing for Voices of Wrestling, a big lucha fan. Yeah, he was putting together his top 10 lucha matches of the year so far. And like La Parca, who's probably like how old? I mean, he's got to be like mid-50s.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still puts on match of the year. Love it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I guess there were some rumors as well that something to do with MGM, like the company that's distributing. I don't even understand how MGM is involved with Lucha Underground, but somewhere down the line, MGM is somehow wrapped up in Lucha Underground. And I guess there were some rumors going around that MGM was somehow trying to stand in the way of people taking international bookings, the talent. I don't know. Lucha Underground, anyways, they put out a press release recently basically denying that. So I hadn't heard anything about that. Had you?
No, I hadn't. Like, it was like there's some, like, you know, studio exec, like mogul, just smoking a cigar. Don't you dare let Willie Mack work anywhere outside of this country.
But yeah. I mean, in the press release, they were talking about like how it's pretty standard, like exclusivity clause for like a television show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was thinking maybe that has something to do with why we never see Marty the Moth anywhere. Maybe he's just taking his contract way too seriously. Maybe. I don't know. Man, I want to know what that guy does in his spare time.
Well, we saw his headshot. He's got a nice headshot.
Yeah. Handsome guy. Okay. All right. Any other news and notes?
I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah, me neither. Hey, I made a Kraft dinner tonight, but instead of using milk and butter, I used coffee creamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of worked. Anyways.
Really? Kind of worked?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of worked.
Okay. Recommend it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you got the means.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not healthy, but
anyway. Sincerely, thank you for that. That's great.
More of a note. More of a note than news. Okay.
Most importantly, violence!
Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 32. A long recap today. Matanza and Dario Cueto at his jail cell. Marty, Melissa Santos and Phoenix. Joey Ryan and Veneno / Cortez. Son of Havoc and Son of Madness, Johnny Mundo with his agent and Dario Cueto, and Ray losing and Johnny Mundo retaining from last episode. By the way, you did a great job, man. I think I had mentioned to you, talking about last week, you really, really liked that Puma Pentagon name.
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
Thought it was the best match of the tournament. I was able to just kind of enjoy and watch. I wasn't really thinking on such of a grading scale, but I may have to watch it again. You think it was better than Puma Dante Fox?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess I would say that Puma Dante Fox was on, the athleticism and just like the, it cemented this, like, Dante Fox's reputation with me, you know what I mean? Like, that was a fantastic match, but I didn't really ever buy for one second that Puma was not going to win.
Sure.
And so it lacked, it was totally impressive. Mm-hmm. And the biggest surprise, I think.
Yeah.
But it lacked the stakes for me, and that was maybe the one thing that they didn't take the time to do, was make me believe that Dante Fox could win.
Yeah.
But okay. You're right. Like, it's an incredible match. I mean, if not, like, you could easily make an argument that it was the best match of the tournament. I wouldn't deny that. My favorite match of the tournament is still Masquerita Sagrada versus Pindar.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the... the Puma, you know, Pentagon just had all the elements. Maybe not, you know, if you think about all the sort of like characteristics of a great match, like maybe it didn't peak out on any of those compared to some of the other ones. But man, I just thought it was fantastic, especially that one sequence with the dueling Mexican destroyers. My God,
yeah.
Just like brutal, like hard hitting, executed to perfection, sold to perfection, just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe I will check it out again. But let's begin the show, my friend. We began at Matanza's cell. Dario enters and he's really showing humility, saying I was wrong. Said, Ray gave me a 619. He talks about last week's actions. I think now we're starting to see. I know last week you were talking about you weren't sure what Dario was doing here, why he interrupted.
Yeah,
I think we're starting to see more maybe the long con here. And he talks about we've got our 100th episode coming up. Are they keeping track? Is that like, this is again, this goes back to do they have a relationship with the LRA network? I don't know.
Does he say 100th episode,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's cool. I was really excited to hear that. I'm like, wow, they did it. Hey, good job, guys. 100th episode.
If they're gonna do that kind of stuff, they should just Dario should just stare right at the camera, you know.
Yes.
Just turn to the camera.
Yeah,
we have our 100th episode on the I don't know. That's the type of thing. Yeah, and then we had not only that, but in the same vein, we also later had security guards again, and this is like the third type of security guard. Every time there's security guards, they're different. The first time they were just in black polos. The second time they were like armed guards with tasers and the whole thing. And now we've got them coming in with like shirts and hats that say security. It's like, is he just constantly hiring different security things every episode?
He's feeding them to Matanza. He's like, oh yes, your paycheck, it is in here.
I love it. Put it on camera, man.
Yes.
Put it on camera. That's what I want to see.
But
I know what you mean, though, about... So, yeah, I mean, that it's still a question mark for me about why Dario jumped in the ring and did all that. I guess they're trying to... had something to do with... he was upset with... like, maybe he was upset with Dominic jumping in there. I don't know. But I could see now, after this scene with Matanza, that maybe he did it in some convoluted way to, sort of level up Matanza, right? Get him riled up. Get him ready to go out and fight. Like, oh, if I can... If I get myself beaten up a little bit by Rey Mysterio, then that will inspire my brother to, you know, go out and get revenge, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this has kind of been like this kind of secret battle he's having. Like, maybe he's scared shitless. He's going home and crying in the corner. Like, he doesn't have his big brother to look after him anymore. He's kind of hanging by a thread, but he's putting on a brave face.
That's interesting. Cause you're interpreting it like he's telling Matanza the truth. I'm interpreting it like he's a master manipulator.
Sure. Oh yeah, I really thought. We saw him. We see an example of him being a master manipulator later in this show. So I think both possibilities are possible.
Yep. We'll. So I'm still still curious if we're ever going to understand a little bit more about why he jumped in and mm-hmm. and pulled Mysterio yeah. off. Just seems yeah. so random.
It's true. Well, we shall see. Mm. Okay, so he sets up, like, says next week the main event against Rey, and he just destroy him. Like, he really. Oh, I mentioned this. Like, when you do bring the soundboard back from that episode, that there was one good soundboard quote tonight, but the one I did with Bobby C, that when he says, "I love it when my luchadors talk shit to each other."
Yeah,
you can find that one.
I'll try.
I'd like to put a request for that. Okay. So we enter Slapback playing again. Whatever. But we see that there's right away the Striker and Vampiro are starting to promote Ultima Lucha Tres.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Four episodes of Ultima Lucha Tres. Doesn't it seem like it should be three episodes? Because it's Tres? I don't know.
Yes. Well, I mean, we put it all together, it might equal 3 hours when you take away the... commercial breaks, no, whatever. Mm-hmm. First match, Son of Madness versus Masquerita Sagrada. I was saying, I don't know about you, but I was like, yeah, as soon as I saw Masquerita Sagrada.
Oh, of course. You know I was. I was so hoping that when we would catch a glimpse of the emblem on the back of the vest that Sagrada was using, and it would somehow be like a Sagrada-specific... Uh-huh. Like Son of Havoc face, but I don't believe it was. I think it was literally just Son of Havoc's vest. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been cool if it was just like a much smaller version of the Son of Havoc face. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So Son of Madness is, again, he's carrying on the story. He's carrying Son of Havoc's colors. They say Masquerita Sagrada is a new member of did they call it the Invisible Cult by name? I think they did. And Matt Stryker, who usually has lines that make us groan, actually made me laugh when he said, "Masquerita Sagrada looks like they put Han Solo in a dryer."
Yeah, that's right.
That was pretty good. So Son of Madness, of course, playing the heel, goes in with the cheap shots early. You could hear him say very quickly, "You don't deserve to wear that vest." Masquerita Sagrada's breech shine is kind of stopped by an elbow when he's running, trying to do a tope to the outside. Strong suplex to finish him off, which makes for a good logical finish. Post-match, Son of Havoc enters for the save, and Dario Cueto, then he calls for security, which is interesting. And we see good, we see Paul London save Masquerita.
Yes, I cannot wait to see where that's going to go. That was, honestly, that's the most exciting thing of this whole episode for me. Oh my God, Paul London walked out with Masquerita Sagrada in his arms. What's going to happen next? I was really hoping there was going to be like a like post-credit sort of scene or something, but yes. We'll see. There's still time. There is still time for Sagrada to make an appearance wearing black and white, like same gear.
Yes.
Just black and white and with a cottontail. Bam.
That's all you need.
That's how you do your job.
So Dario says the main event will be Son of Havoc versus Son of Madness for a medallion in a Boyle Heights biker brawl. So that's cool they've set up there. This is rare that we see somebody doing double duty in a single episode. I don't think it's ever happened, to be honest.
Oh, I bet you it has at some point.
All right.
Maybe a super fan can tell us.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to our next match. Marty the Moth Martinez versus... From the heavens, our Hennis.
Yeah. I'm always excited to see our Hennis. Mm-hmm. Always excited. He has really, yeah. I mean, he has been a mainstay.
Yeah, he is. I've got written down. He is the good hand. He is the good hand.
Oh, of yeah.
One of, actually, there's probably three or four. He's one.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, this is every time Arjenis wrestles, I'm like, this is Arjenis' best match. But you know what? This was Arjenis' best match.
Yeah. I liked it. Vampiro's was, I noticed right away, he's really playing the heel today, more than he usually did. Mm. Like, he's standing up for Marty the Moth here. He was standing up for Son of Madness before. I wanted to mention that in that thing before where they were talking about how Masquerita Sagrada has the best and he says, "You have to earn this," Vampiro saying that. And Masquerita, the first thing I thought, how do you know he didn't earn it? And then Matt Stryker said the same thing. I'm like, yeah, thanks, Matt Stryker. How do you know he didn't earn it?
You and Matt Stryker, you guys are on the same level this week.
Yeah, today, this week, we are. For a while, he started to bother me a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Vampiro's response to that was kind of the whatever. You don't have an answer, Vampiro. Just own up to it. But anyway, so like Arrhenius again, back from a broken arm. It's the second time he's been back from a broken arm.
Oh, right? Poor guy.
Marty dominates early. Starts to tear the mask. At first, I'm like, oh, this is a little too much, too early. But it fits in with where Marty is right now and where the kind of the dark turn his character has taken. Arrhenius with a great tope flip to the outside, just, you know, textbook. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there are better topes in the company and the better tope flips, but he does it and then nobody's getting hurt and everybody's landing. Like, he's lunchbox, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Does a great job. Does he wrestles as Arrhenius in AAA? I think so. Yeah, but he's taken on multiple sort of, he's played multiple roles throughout Lucha Underground, because he was one of the Disciples of Death.
Yeah, and is he not one of the Rabbit Tribe?
No. He is not. Oh. No, that's Mariachi Loco, you might be thinking.
That's right. And Alice Huerta is Mr. Cisco.
Mr. Cisco.
So this moves into a brawl into the stands. Mariposa gets involved and throws him into the head first into the pole, and you can see I wrote down, I think Arrhenius is blading here, and I'm like, yeah, he is definitely blading here. Mm. He's kind of tucked underneath the curtain there.
You have an eye for that, and I think it has something to do with all the hanging out with, watching wrestling with Kelly Nelson. Sure. You guys watch all that old stuff where people are blading all the time.
Yeah, left, right, and center.
Yeah, I don't have an eye for it at all. When people are bleeding, I'm such a mark, because I immediately assume, oh my god, this must be an accident.
That's good.
I envy.
He was really bleeding. This is a lot of blood here. It was kind of disgusting.
Yeah, and Stryker and Vampiro, this is where they were starting to lose me, when they were just kind of, it was getting excessive the way they were talking about it.
Oh, I really loved Stryker's call here, actually, when he was like, as the platelets fall. I'm into that.
Blood drips.
Yeah. But I liked as the platelets fall. I think that was nice.
Melissa, you can hear it's clear. They want to say, Marty, what are you doing? Like, she's really kind of, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. Now, when that first started happening, I was like, why would she be yelling at, what suddenly starts yelling at wrestlers during matches? She's seen stuff that's like far more egregious over the course of her criminal career as the Lucha Underground announcer. But if she does have this, you know, affections for Phoenix, then it would be quite easy for her to sort of project Phoenix into, Arrhenius, and then suddenly, you know, sort of be emotionally moved in that moment to, you know, for the first time to sort of like get, you know, try, because in some way, I mean, she's trying to influence the match, right?
A little bit.
Well, I mean, why else would she be yelling? She's trying to.
Well, you know. I think it's just like they've got a history, and then like she's seen that he's kind of turned this page, like he's like it's happening more and more now. So I think that's why the way I read it is that that's the way she was reacting.
Sure. Yeah. I was into it. I like it. She really gets involved. She's gonna wrestle, don't you think?
Maybe in season four. I don't think in this season.
Oh man! Even at the end of, well, continue with the match, because at the end I was like.
So yeah, I guess. He unmasks Arrhenius just like unceremoniously.
Yeah, but we don't see it.
Yeah, but still, it's just like this guy just doesn't give a fuck, and I don't really have how he got the pinfall. I know he won. But Melissa reacts again, good heat, and then Marty gets the mic, throws the bloody mask at Melissa, says he wants Phoenix's mask at Ultima Lucha 3. This is where I thought this was most excited I was this whole episode. I thought Melissa was killing it. Phoenix enters to cheers, the Animo chant, everybody chanting. You hear Melissa say it once.
Yeah.
She gets on the mic and he says, yeah, we'll do this. My mask versus your hair. I'm like, all right. I love it.
No, yeah, great. Totally. Did I not call this? I called this.
Yeah.
Weeks ago.
When they were saying, okay, I'll put my mask against Melissa's.
Mariposa's.
Mariposa's mask.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because when Phoenix jumps on the mic there, he speaks in Spanish and there's no subtitle. And while that was happening, I was expecting it to be revealed that they will do some kind of like tag team, you know, in that moment, and it would be mask for mask, but that the girls would both be involved somehow. But instead, it's mask versus hair. I'm totally down. I'm down.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will be brutal, just based on how things have gone up to this point. This is one of those, like, remember last season where, like, this Mascara Sagrada better have a happy ending?
I know.
This has got to have a happy ending, too. That's a testament to everybody involved here. Marty has been so despicable, and Phoenix is so honorable, and Melissa's really kind of stepped up, kind of doing something she hadn't been doing before. I'm way into this angle. I really like it.
Totally. I mean, I can't see any other possible outcome, because there's no way Phoenix is getting unmasked by Marty the Moth on Lucha Underground, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so unless they can really... What's that?
I think we will see some tearing of the mask and that sort of thing, but I think he's got to emerge victorious.
Yeah, he has to. Although, yeah, you never know. They did unmask Superfly in the first season.
Yes, yeah, they did. I remember that. That was Sexy Star that did it, right? She had the.
That's right. Yeah.
Gosh, so weird. Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
This might be a good time for us to take a break.
Sounds good.
All right. Here's some words from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. all of these shows, plus others available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlacementNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, Trev, you had you had last week off.
Yeah, I loved Bruno Sammartino. There's just that is perfect. Yeah, really well respected, but kind of just a little out of touch. Kind of like the Captain America, early Captain America when he was unfrozen, like just not quite getting how things evolved. Yeah,
yeah, really,
like
totally.
This week I think I'd go. You know, it's really good easy to go to the legends, and I think we'll go with Arn Anderson this week. I think he looked really good behind that desk. Just kind of we do a lot of no nonsense guys. I think that's kind of be what he is.
Yeah.
But maybe in the end, I don't know. I don't know where we'd go with him. I just somebody popped into my desk as some or into my head as somebody would look good behind that desk. And you know, always his arms crossed and in the uniform kind of thing. I think it'd be good.
I'm not really familiar with Arn Anderson's work. What are some of his qualities?
He is just the best, just textbook, like really good execution. He does a sidewalk slam that is as good as anybody's. A tag team specialist. I mean, what we could do is have him in the Tully.
They're like co-chiefs. Did I lose you? Oh my god, his computer just overheated. Okay. He's back.
Sorry, buddy.
What happened?
My computer just overheated.
Overheated?
Yeah.
Hot Lucha Nights.
Do you want me to just take it from where I was?
No, we're going to keep all the overheating. This is comedy gold. You have no idea. I just went off. I just did a promo on you.
Good.
No, I'm lying. I literally just sat here in silence.
That's good. So yeah, that's Lucha City Nights. Arn Anderson.
All righty. What else? Where else does this episode take us?
As I was saying, it's like what we could do is have Tully Blanchard, maybe the two of them. They're like a tag specialist. Like we work together. We do this with it helps to build psychology. I don't know, like something like that. Go off on that. That's what they were. That's what they were known for. You know what I mean? If you want to go off on something that they were known for, I'm just trying to think of why they would have to leave. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like the other territories are calling our names.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever. That's it. I'm back.
And then, well, they get replaced by Ric Flair.
Yeah, maybe. I like it. Good. Yeah. Great. So that brings us to our next match here on Lucha Underground. Joey Ryan versus Sexy Star. Really weird watching this now. especially because Joey Ryan was one of the guys who was a little more outspoken online. I talk a bit about that on that main event podcast. If you guys want to check that out. Sexy Star has some hard slaps to Joey Ryan's ear.
Yeah, those look pretty stiff. Stiffer, yeah, you know, they might. Yeah, maybe she's. Maybe we're just projecting a little extra stiffness in there.
Maybe. But I mean, I was thinking at this, like, Joey Ryan, this is his forte, kind of working the intergender thing.
I know. I was suspecting we might see
So did I.
Yeah.
I have heard that you're talking about the penis flip, right? I had heard. Mm-hmm. Telltale that he does do one in this season at some point. Whether or not it makes the final cut remains to be seen.
The penis plex.
Penis plex, pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
The U-porn plex. Taya enters with a Go Sexy Star sign, and I'm like, this feels like they're kind of forcing in a feud here.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote down, and I underlined the last word, What about the spiders? What about the spiders?
And where's Dagger with a sword while we're at it?
Yes. Who knows? Anyways, JR did that kind of sucker bit. There. And Sexy Star with the starts to do his chest hair toss. This is where I thought, okay, maybe we will see the Venus Flex. Sexy Star hits three amigas, is not bad. And then she goes after Taya, and that ends up being her demise because Joey Ryan hits a super kick on Sexy Star for the win. Whatever, I guess this was just here to... Oh, well, Stryker says after this is over, says this is the best moment of Joey Ryan's Lucha Underground career. I was like, really? I guess Sexy Star is supposed to be kind of higher up on the card.
I mean, it'll go down in the record books as Joey Ryan defeats Sexy Star.
Sexy Star, I guess.
Yeah.
Joey Ryan goes to give the lollipop to Sexy Star. That was a darker turn than he had normally taken.
No kidding.
But enter Cortez with a kendo stick beatdown. I really like this. It was good to see him kind of finally stop being on the butt of the jokes on the bottom of everybody's shoe.
I don't know. I kind of liked Veneno just getting the worst of it at all times. Like, just can't win.
Yes.
And I always thought that I just love that moment between Sexy Star and Veneno, and then him having to go up against Mill in the first round. It was so funny. They could have continued it. Oh, well. He has to have a story, though. He can't just become this guy who's getting knocked around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of thought the crowd reaction wasn't what... The crowd, when he came out and started hitting him with the kendo stick, the crowd didn't seem to maybe know what to do. Mm-hmm. It seemed a little quiet. They were a little confused. I would be confused if I was watching this. I'd be like, why was Taya cheering for Sexy Star? And Taya didn't do anything other than cheer for Sexy Star. Mm-hmm. And then Sexy Star attacks her. Like, what, you know, Sexy Star was the heel.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, reputations aside, if you're just watching this match, you'd be like, what the hell? Why would she attack that person?
Yeah. So, yeah, especially if you're not following. But even as we are following storylines, as I said, there wasn't a lot of Taya and Sexy Star recently to make us think that there's any sort of reason for her. Yeah, now she's really going to stick it to Sexy Star with this fake sign pretending to cheer for her. Yeah, this makes sense if this is the next step in their ongoing whatever.
So weird, right?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get Katrina versus Ivelisse at...
I do. Huh. Well, they mentioned it in episode one, didn't they?
They did, but they also mentioned spiders and Dago with a sword.
It's true. I still think we will. Because to me, it seemed like they worked that back in.
We'll see. They're going to have to bring Ivelisse. She's going to have to make at least some kind of appearance here in the next few episodes.
Mm-hmm. But it does look like this is another Ultima Lucha Trace match, is Taya and Sexy Star, which is interesting. And I think, here's what I just said, I'll echo what I said on the show. I think, wouldn't it be amazing if this turns out to be an incredible match after
No kidding. Off
these guys? Like, just, oh my God! 4.25 easily.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I know Taya has it in her, and I know that Sexy Star has it in her. You know, in some ways, it might elevate the whole thing if we can. It's weird how that can happen. Everything that has occurred between those two has taken place after this match ever existed.
Yeah,
but now we can go back in time, and it can sort of elevate a match. Sure. You know, absolutely. Kind of interesting. Sure.
Yeah. So right after this, Cortez enters Dario Cueto's office, talking to him about, he knows that, you know, I'm a cop, whatever. Dario Cueto grabs his bull. I'm starting to think there's a little more to this bull than just...
Yeah. They're definitely implying something with that bull.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be a safety blanket. You never know.
Could be. But it keeps popping up. It offers a 5-0 street fight next week. I like that. This is very talk. Here's where I said Dario Cueto is a master manipulator. Says, yeah, for a medallion. He's like, I guess I'll see you next week. I was like, yeah, Cortez. All right.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He is kind of getting spun into his web here, quite possibly, you know.
So right now, the four people, there's five medallions, right? Or seven medallions?
Yeah. Seven, I believe.
Okay, so we got the Worldwide Underground, not Jack Ryan, but Ricky Mandel.
Oh, they beat, so all three of them got?
Yeah, all three of them got a medallion.
Okay.
And then Son of Havoc gets one later in this episode.
Yeah.
And then we'll have one, either Joey Ryan and Cortez Castro, and then that will leave two still out there.
Yeah, Black Panther. Or Dark Claw.
It's gonna come back. Dark Claw. That would be amazing. Comes back for one more. Dark Claw, where have you been? I only fight big matches for medallions.
Anyways, so that leads us to our main event, the Spoil Heights biker brawl between Son of Madness and Son of Havoc. Matt Stryker kind of took a shot at us here. Did you notice this?
What?
Talked about podcasters.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That was directly aimed at us, I thought. I thought this was kind of, the brawl to the outside, it picked up a lot at the end, but all the stuff on the outside, I just felt a little dull until we got to that wild stomp from the outside.
Where we saw the footprints on his back.
So, this was before that one. The one where Son of Madness did the jump.
Yeah.
That looked crazy. It moved into the stands. This is where they started using the trash cans, and Son of Havoc gets pushed into the crowd. And I don't know, I wanted to, just a quick aside, did you notice there was just like a knockout woman of looked to be of Latin descent. Did you notice her?
I can't say that
she looked like possibly Sofia Vergara, who I know goes to like PWG. And it went by, but she was just like, wow, just wow.
Okay. Keep an eye out.
Yeah. And eventually we got a nice, spot. And that's what I mean is the Son of Havoc with that stomp that left the boot marks behind. That was great. And the way the camera, and then at this point, finally the crowd is into it. This is probably like a good 10 minutes into this match. I think
it was a long one.
Yeah, 5 or 6 minutes shorter, I thought.
I think that is a really astute observation, man. Yeah, 100%. Because, there's just something about this particular feud. I can't quite put my finger on it because I don't want to say it's Son of Madness because everything about this, like his character, and he seems to be perfectly good, you know, in ring. You know, certainly no worse than Tejano for my money. I know you might think differently, but so
with a good hand, Tejano.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I don't know. I think it might have, like, how do you feel about this whole feud in general?
Well, I thought it was interesting that this happened today and not because this can't be their Ultimate Lucha Trace now match, can it?
Yeah.
I think the Gift of the Gods match will probably be at Ultimate Lucha Trace, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. If this is it, then it wasn't much, but I don't think it's over. I think, I don't know. I'm not mad about it, but I don't despise biker culture as much as you do.
Okay, let me throw out an idea at you. Okay. So Son of Madness is part of this biker gang, right? And you know that they have all these, like, they're willing to bring in all these extras and stuff like that. Like, we saw, like, how many security guards today. What if, during the next Son of Havoc match, Son of Madness shows up, and then suddenly he's swarmed by just a whole ton of Cult of the Unknown guys. And they just, like, come into the ring and just beat him down, just, like, absolutely crush him, and then they all just, like, disperse. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Sure.
I guess it doesn't really further anything.
No.
This is why this is hard. It's hard. People, a lot of people don't like to fantasy book, but I think it's important to fantasy book from time to time because you begin to realize that it's not as easy as you think.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. But people do love to do it. Yep. And it gives us something to talk about. Finally, like, they move back into the ring. You see that Nutter suplex to the outside, a son of madness.
Oh, wait. I got an idea. This is how we can freshen up this match for Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah. Okay.
They set it up where it's like, okay, it's going to be a tag team match. It's going to be Son of Havoc and Masqueria Sagrada versus Son of Madness and a mystery partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the mystery partner is like another little guy, but he's done up like Son of Madness.
Yes.
And then that's your Ultima Lucha.
What are they, got rabbit tribes? How are they going to be involved?
Oh, that's right, the rabbit tribe.
You got to think these things through, man.
I forgot that the rabbit tribe has kidnapped. I don't even know.
Taking him into their care. So you remember this weird suplex to the outside where he like just kind of like he went too far almost. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, man. This match,
yeah,
I kind of just sort of lost a little bit of interest, and you know, I know we're the premier Lucha Underground after show, but there are times when even a diehard Lucha Underground fan like myself cannot stay locked in. And there's just something about this particular feud that there's no meat for me to grab onto, I feel. So, I mean, it's kind of happening as sort of like, and then the first 5 minutes were a little slow, and then that sort of did it for me. But I hate to say that out loud.
There was one good soundboard. This is Vampiro is like, this is a good fight. And I like it.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out for it.
Something like that. Son of Havoc gets another double stomp, followed by a standing moonsault for a near fall. The crowd was into it at this point, but it took a long time to get them there. Talking about this being too long, there was an excellent late sequence between the two when they were using the ropes. That's when I thought that was kind of the peak of the match. Mm. It really picked up by that point. Son of Madness grabs a Budweiser, a toolbox, throws in a trash can. Son of Madness hits an attitude adjustment onto the can for a near fall. Matt Stryker made a Hanukkah reference for some reason.
What?
I don't understand this. It was out of nowhere. We only had oil for one night, but it lasted for eight. Like, it just, like, as they're building to the finish, like, is there anybody Jewish in this? Son of Madness with a hammer. He goes up to hit Son of Havoc on the ropes and is greeted with a smash of a beer bottle.
Which I did like that.
Yeah, it was right for a good finish because then he hit his moonsault, which always looks great for the win and the medallion. A good match, way too long. The brawling didn't go anywhere, but it really picked up. And by the end, both guys were really working hard. There was four matches in this show.
I know. What was the best match in your mind?
I guess that last one.
Hmm.
I guess so.
I'm gonna have to say Arjenis and Marty the Moth.
Yeah, sure.
Arjenis scoops one. Arjenis really believes in himself, like the character of Arjenis. He just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
He has gone through the worst stuff. He's had his arm broken twice. Like, what are you? He just really thinks he can do it. You know?
Yeah, him and Cortez need to team up, but the bad luck. Poor guys. They're moving stuff forward. I didn't drop any snowflakes this episode, but I love where the Marty and Phoenix story is going. I'm all in on that. And I do like that Masquerita was saved by Paul London.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Masquerita will have a Ultima Lucha appearance?
Yes.
Nice.
I think he will aid. I think he will finally come through as like their new, like maybe this is when he finally is like, yeah, I'm on your side.
Right. That's good. I like what you're thinking there. Cool. All right, Trav, I got the summary for episode 34 up in front of me.
Yeah. Okay. Just wait one second before you do that. I should mention that I have the finals. We're behind on the.
Oh yeah.
We thought Bobby C was running away with it, but that last. Only a couple of us had picked Puma to win, including our boss Chad. But we'll go from the bottom here. At the bottom, finishing sixth is Max with 29 points. Finishing fifth is myself.
Oh, God.
Somehow the two of us, the experts of this shit.
I love it.
That was pretty fitting. Then Christopher Andrew Kent with 35. Oh, no, pardon me. Our beloved Bobby. No, wait. Okay, I'm going backwards here. No, Christopher Andrew Kent. No, it is Bobby C with 34. Next, and Christopher Andrew Kent with 35. Then Chad, our boss at 38, and the winner is Stefan Adamus, who really came through with his Prince Puma pick in the end there. So we have no prizes for you, but congratulations.
And thank you for participating. I'm sure it was a thrill to hear your name spoken over the podcast 5 or 6 times. Okay, Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 34, next week. Career opportunities. Ooh. Castro versus Ryan in a 5-0 street fight. You got a feeling there's going to be handcuffs involved in that?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Mundo.
Nightsticks.
Nightsticks. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Maybe like the sirens that they put on top of cop cars. You see those coming out from under the ring for some reason. Yeah, Johnny Mundo challenges Prince Puma at Ultima Lucha, so I guess we'll have like a little bit of a promo exchange there. And then Dario makes an announcement. Oh, all right.
We should be getting. Are we not getting that Ray and Matanza? Right, Matanza back in action.
Well, it doesn't mention it in the description. So, but it should be. Yeah.
All right.
There really just isn't a lot of time left here. I mean, we got 3 more episodes before Ultima Lucha Trace begins, so you got to think, like, every episode from here on out is just going to be setting up matches for Ultima Lucha Trace. So, we'll see. It looks like that's going to take us all the way to mid-October.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. So, Trev, how can people find us on social media?
We are on Twitter at @Lucha_Aftergrund. Just search for Lucha Afterground. You will find us. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes or whatever. Look for A Place to Be Nation. You can find us there. Tell your friends. Give us some nice reviews. We appreciate it. As I said, check out this week's episode of Main Event. It should be up. It sounds like it should be up by the end of the day today, with being Thursday. When we're recording this, it was really, really, really cool. Really, really cool to talk with both those guys. The first time I've been able to do that. Getting to know more and more members of our the PTBM family.
There you go. Guys. Hopefully, everything will be back to normal as of next week. I mean, it's been 3 weeks of sort of strange behavior on our part. But next week things should be. We'll be back in the swing of things. Other than that, we'll be here next week.
Question is, will you join us?